Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Giancarlo. A lot of people call me the Leadership Identity Architect. First, I want to thank Jose and the CLA team for inviting me to be here today to talk with you all. I want to start with a story. It's circa 1983. It's the year I graduated college. That very same year, I was asked to run for political office in the town I grew up in. In fact, I was asked by both political parties to run. And shortly after the election, well, I should tell you, I did win at the age of 22, the youngest in the town's history, and no one has beat that record ever since. But shortly after the election, in November of 1983, the city manager called me at home, and he asked me if I could spend a couple of minutes with him just to talk. So I didn't know what to expect. I went to his office at the appointed time. We sat down, and through the discussion, he kept telling me how his expectations of me were very, very high. He felt I had done a great job campaigning, and he wanted to ask me a favor. And he said to me the following question. He said, "What I want you to do every night when you put your head on the pillow, I want you to ask yourself one question. And that question is, did I do anything today for my own personal self-benefit that was at the expense of another individual, group of individuals, or organization?" And then he went on and said, "If you answer yes to that question, you have to do two things immediately. Number one, you have to figure out how to unwind it. And number two, you have to figure out how to never repeat it again." For a 22-year-old sitting there who just graduated college and thought he knew everything in the world, that discussion hit me like a brick to the side of the head. But it was so powerful that I have led my entire life with integrity. And that question every night before you put your head on the pillow really drives everything that I'm about and what I help leaders with. Let's face it, around the world today, we see it in this country, other countries, everywhere. Companies lack integrity, companies lack security, companies lack a lot of things. But most importantly, you cannot be successful if you lack integrity. So every person in this room that's listening today is working to solve some of the biggest problems in the world. Could be climate, could be education, could be health, could be personal growth or economic growth. But I want to ask you one question. Who's going to implement what you've created? Who's going to take the findings and lead that charge and make that change? Because that person, that leader, is either going to accelerate your work or derail it. And the deciding factor is not their IQ. It's their integrity. And here's where we get into the problem. We have a leadership identity gap in most organizations. We don't have a skills problem. We have an identity problem. And that gap is an integrity gap. Leaders get promoted. The majority of leaders, about 85% of them, get promoted for their technical competence. And then they fail because they were never taught to lead with values under pressure. I'll tell you a true story. While working for a very large technology company here in the US, We had a server failure for one of our largest customers. The lead account manager on the account came to me and he wanted to simply try to diagnose and fix the issue, to have the easy way out of the jam. So my first question was, how long is that going to take? He said a minimum of 12 to 15 hours or maybe 24 hours. My response, not going to happen. We always had backup sites, backup servers, and to flip a few switches to convert over to another server is a very easy thing to do and would only take us 15 to 20 minutes to accomplish that goal. But the account manager wanted to take the easier path of just shutting down the corporation's server. And so I said to them, when you deliver the message to the customer that you're taking them out of business, how do you think they're going to react? Are they going to simply react and say, oh, okay, we'll just sit back and let our customer suffer for the next 12 or 15 hours or however it takes? So the easy way out is not always the best way. So ultimately, we did the flip of the switch to the backup servers, lost a little bit of time. I think it turned out to be about 18 minutes. But the company that we were serving was ecstatic. They didn't lose a beat. They were able to identify and help us work through the process. But this is that same gap of integrity that I'm talking about. The problem isn't that leaders don't know what integrity means, but they don't know that integrity matters. And it's under pressure when they default to their identity, not their intentions. If their identity hasn't been built on integrity as the foundation, all the training in the world isn't going to help the situation. Said another way, you can teach someone the right answer on a test, but you can't teach them to make the right call at midnight when no one is watching. And that's the difference. Because at midnight or when no one's watching, that's where your true identity is going to show up. And it has to be built on integrity. So here's your challenge. The next time your work gets ignored, underfunded, or poorly implemented, before you assume it's a political or a systems problem, ask yourself one question. What kind of leader was in the room when those decisions were made? I bet there was at least one leader in that room that was lacking integrity, which is, in fact, a common problem. Sustainable outcomes require sustainable leaders, and sustainable leaders are built. They're not born that way. How many people have ever have heard leaders are born leaders? I'm here to tell you that that's the biggest lie in business. Leaders are not born, they're made. They're developed deliberately over time. My first management job out of college, I didn't know what I needed to be as a leader. It had to be developed in me, and it was a continual and focused process throughout my 35 years in the corporate world. This is both the best news you could hear and the greatest responsibility in the room today. The work you're doing matters. Make sure that the leaders implementing your work are built for it. So I want to switch the topic a little bit and talk a little bit about what I call accidental managers. This is a second problem that we tend to have in the corporate world today. When a manager quits, typically, the organization will look at the team that leader was leading and find the best technically skilled person and make them the manager. Here's the problem with that. If you don't give that leader a framework to follow, according to Gallup, 85% of them will fail within 24 to 36 months. But the signs of that failure show up within the first year. As the team begins to disintegrate, lose confidence in their leader, and they start to disconnect because they don't believe in their capability to lead. I think some of you may have heard this phrase before. It's called silent quitting. Checking out mentally from the work, doing the bare minimum because you're not able to make the connection with your leader, and your leader is not equipped with a framework to be able to get you to be able to get to where you need to be as a leader. I spend a lot of time mentoring people and developing people. And I want to point to a study that the Society for Human Resource Managers did about 2 years ago. They ranked the top 10 reasons why people quit their jobs. 8 of the 10 reasons are directly related to their manager. Let me talk about a few of those. Lack of a career roadmap for the individual. Lack of psychological safety. This is the biggest thing impacting workers today. They don't feel psychologically safe in the environments that they work in. I talk a lot on college campuses besides keynote speaking, and I talk a lot about what we're talking about here today. And it's amazing to me the number of people who approach me after we talk, and they tell me the stories of the environments that they work in and some of the things that they've endured as an employee of a company. And it becomes very concerning for me. Recently, I spoke, February, I call that recently, at the University of North Texas. I speak there every semester. It's not far from where I live. And I give the same talk to the graduating seniors in the business school that are part of the sales and marketing leadership program. The last time I spoke, the professor who ran that class, as we ended, because I always like to stay around until everybody has an opportunity to talk to me. The professor came up to me and he said, "I'm leaving. The room is yours. You've got this under control. Have fun." And when I looked, there were 45 people in line waiting to talk to me. And all of the 8 of 10 reasons why people quit their job being related to their managers came out in every single person that was in a bad situation. There was one young lady that was in such a bad situation, I actually recommended that she quit her job because I didn't think she was in a safe place, and she knew she was not feeling psychologically safe. So back to those 8 reasons. Job security is the next one. Work-life balance as well. The culture. The leader creates the culture. The framework that I instill in people becomes infectious and actually starts to convert other leaders as well to following that framework. If I look at attrition rates, the average attrition rate for voluntary attrition in the United States ranges between 10 and 15%. The last company I worked for, it was 17.5%. My framework for the last 30 years, my average attrition rate is under 5%. And it's under 5% because of the 6 pillars that I call of effective leadership. In fact, during that time, I've had multiple people many people that when they've quit their job or are thinking of quitting their job, I'm their first phone call. And the first question they typically ask is, are you hiring? And if I am, and they've worked with me in the past, they have an opportunity to come work for me again. That's an easy transition because they know what to expect. They know my framework. They know that I'm going to expect perfection, but they also know that I've got their back. Because the six pillars of effective leadership starts with integrity, and integrity is non-negotiable. And then there's compassion and empathy. And the two are very, very different, but they're important. And let me tell you quick story about compassion. About 3 years ago, I had a woman who worked for me, and she was really busting her butt. She was a single mom, absent dad, and a 12-year-old son. It was June, July, and by the third week in July, I realized she had not taken any time off to be with her son for the summer. So in my weekly one-on-one with her, I asked her if she was planning to take time off. And she said, well, I haven't thought about it. And so I said the following. I said, what I want you to do is to close your laptop, shut off your phone, and I don't want to see you till next Monday, and I don't want to hear from you till next Monday, and I don't want you to take it as PTO time. You've been busting your butt. You're working extra hours. The least I can do is give you the gift of time with your son. Like a good salesperson, she said, can I negotiate that? And I looked at her and I said, no, you can't. And then she said, well, let me explain. She said, I promised a customer a major deliverable for this Friday. If you make me shut my computer off now, I am not going to be able to satisfy the requirement that I promised to the customer. So I kind of reversed my decision and I said, okay, you can negotiate it under one condition. You deliver what you need to deliver to the company, to the customer on Friday. And then you're taking next week off beginning Monday. I don't want to hear from you for a week. You can check email if you want, but I don't want to see an email. So don't write me an email because I'm not going to respond to you. And don't call me. I've got your back. Your customers will call me. I don't want you to do anything other than pay attention to your son. 12-year-old boy going through puberty, no dad in his life, and his mom was working 18 hours a day. Maybe not all the time, but at least 12 to 13 or 14 hours a day. She took that next week off. The following Monday, she comes into work and she says to me quite emotionally how thankful she was that I forced her to take that time. She didn't realize what damage she was doing to her son by neglecting him, not intentionally, but unintentionally, because she felt the job was so important. No job is that important that you should be ignoring your children. And no manager should be requiring you to work 15 or 18 hours a day and not give you that work-life balance. So just like in the survey the society did, you got to have that work-life balance. And some of the other reasons that are on that list are management, lack of recognition, lack of role clarity. Imagine being in a role, but you don't know what you're supposed to do, let alone a manager not knowing what you should do or how you should do it. That's not for society today. So I told you about the first three pillars: integrity, non-negotiable, compassion, and empathy. Next comes focus and stability. And the sixth and very powerful attribute that I use is humor. Now, when I use humor, I don't mean being the stand-up comedian at the water cooler. When I talk humor, I use it as a strategic tool to work with people, to kick off a meeting, to get people to relax, to get people to understand that I'm human. And most of my humor is self-deprecating humor. Things that I have done that when I look back at them are pretty funny. And some of them are pretty stupid. But in today's environment, you can't make fun of other people. Society is too sensitive. And so you could go back 20 or 30 years and watch comedy TV shows on some of the, you know, channels that you may have access to, and you see people, the humor that they inflict on each other doesn't, you can't do that in today's society. People are too hypersensitive. And so using humor as a strategic weapon to diffuse a tense situation, to kick off a meeting, to refocus a meeting, it really works. And so that's the framework that I instill when I work with people or when I talk with people, just as I'm talking with you all today. You're going to hear some music very, very shortly, but I want you to remember my name. It's Jim Carlo, and they call me the Leadership Identity Architect. I want to thank you for listening today. Thank you for being here. My information will be made available to you. I'm on the internet. My website is www.jimcarlo.com. I'd love to hear from you. Have a great day.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.